Last week, if you will remember, I had you turn with me to Romans chapter 3, and I read verse 18, and I really did not finish with that message. I would love to have in one program, but I didn't quite finish with the message, the things that I wanted to say. So I'm going to take up there and continue today. I do hope you'll listen. Now, let me read that verse again. Romans chapter 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, I read that verse and I told you that that's the reason the world's in the mess that it's in today. That's the reason. You cannot blame it on anything else. Men will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They will not trust Him. They will not accept Him as God. And so you've got religion that does not accept Jesus. Yes, many religions that do not accept Jesus. And many times these religious people are fairly moral. Many times they live a halfway decent life. And then you'll find the cults who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they sometimes live such a strict life until they turn people away from God instead of to Him, because they've made up a bunch of rules and regulations, and there is no love in the gospel that they claim that they preach. Then on the other hand, you have those who have just decided and made up their mind that they're going to be wicked. You see, every man has a choice. Every man has a choice. You know, I'd like to just spend the rest of the program today saying every man has a choice. There is so much of this preaching today that God picked out certain ones to be saved and certain other ones to be lost, until I just like to just complete the program by saying that every man has a choice. If God gave Adam and Eve, you don't need a whole lot of scripture. If God gave Adam and Eve the choice of two trees in the garden, do you think God would treat Cain and Abel any differently? Do you think that we as descendants of Adam are treated any different? That doesn't make any common sense at all, much less biblical sense, when the Bible is filled with verses of Scripture that says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to me. All we like sheep have gone astray, and all of us can come to Christ." And then Jesus calls us all, and the Bible tells us so over and over and over again. And so there are unsaved people today who have made the choice to not fear God, just not fear Him, just not fear Him at all, think nothing about Him. In fact, many of them claim they don't even believe in God. Well, I dare say that if you've got 15 or 20 real good consecrated Christians to kneel around them and start praying for God to kill them, if they didn't turn red in the face, or if they didn't get nervous and didn't get excited, then you might call them an atheist. But there are not many that's going to stand in the circle of born-again Christians praying for God to kill them and not have some sort of a reaction. If they didn't believe in God, then they would simply laugh at the Christians. But they have no fear before their eyes because they've chosen to have no fear of God before their eyes. They've chosen that. That's what they wanted, and that's what they want. They want what this world has to offer. They do not want what God offers, and so they just don't fear God. They turn Him off. They turn down the volume, so to speak. They take off the earphones. They just don't listen. Now, they don't go to church, so they can't hear it there. And even if they do, by mistake, get into a Bible-believing church and hear the truth, they have their minds made up before they get in that He's not going to affect me in any way. That preacher's not going to change me. I love my drinking. I love my women. I love my life of dancing and gambling and sin and good times, and I'm going to keep it that way. And so the fear of God is not before their eyes because they don't want it before their eyes. They just don't want it there. Then I went on from showing you what God thought about sin and what God was going to do with those and will do with those who refuse to fear God. He turns them over to a reprobate mind. And frankly, it seems to me, now I believe the unpardonable sin, the one sin that is not forgivable in this life is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I'll take a moment with that today. I didn't recently, but let me take a moment with that today. I'm not going to try to go to the Scriptures and reread them and prove it to you, but the Scripture says that Jesus said that sins against the Father would be forgiven, sins against Him could be forgiven, but sins against the Holy Spirit would not be forgiven in this world or in the world to come. In other words, the only thing I can make of that is that the atonement did not cover that particular sin. Now, I think the Bible makes it very clear what that sin is. The people who committed that sin, and Jesus said they committed that sin, and told them that they had, were those who were saying that Jesus Christ was acting and performing miracles in the power of Satan, not in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "My Father sent me, and that what I do is how I am led by my Father." Now, Jesus said that, and then these Pharisees and others came along and said, "No, what he's doing is of the devil." Now, it is a sin that is not forgivable. It's not forgivable. Sins against the Father, yes. You call the Father whatever you have in the past or choose to, and then you come and ask forgiveness for sin, and you got it. You speak against Jesus Christ, and you've got it. But these people spoke about Jesus Christ while he was upon the earth doing the work of God. And you will not find anywhere in the Scriptures where the Holy Spirit defends himself. You will not find that. You'll not find it at all. You'll find where the Holy Spirit led Jesus while he was upon this earth and he followed him. But you will not find the Holy Spirit defending himself. You'll find the Father speaking wrath. You'll find Jesus speaking wrath. But you will not find the Holy Spirit speaking wrath. The Holy Spirit speaks love and compassion and kindness and goodness and forgiveness. That's what the Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit reminds men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he does not defend himself. Consequently, being a member of the Trinity that does not defend himself, then whenever they sinned against him upon this earth and claimed that the works of Jesus were of the devil and not of the Holy Spirit, it was a unique sin. It was a sin that was not committed in any other day, and frankly, I do not believe can be committed today. Why? Simply because the Bible, which we have now, the Bible tells us after the death of Jesus Christ, our sins are paid for. And he says all sins are paid for. And therefore, everybody, anyone, anywhere that wants to get saved can get saved. And so if it was possible to commit the unpardonable sin in this day, then I could not preach, "Whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely." So therefore, I say that it cannot be committed in this day. But now, here is something a little bit different than that. That's a teaching on its own. That's a doctrine of the unpardonable sin on its own. But here, the Lord says that he turns these sinners who shed innocent blood and devised wicked imaginations. And in the first chapter, he said he's turned them over to a reprobate mind, and he's turned them over to vile affections. And they have lost their natural desire for men and women, and they have created a terrible, horrible, wicked, ungodly sin of homosexuality that is condemned from one end of the Bible to the other. And there's no such thing as a Christian homosexual. And so consequently, he says he has turned them over to vile affections and given them a reprobate mind. Now, it isn't that they can't be saved. Let me hasten to say that. It is not an unpardonable sin. It is not something that when they commit it, they cannot get forgiveness for it. Any homosexual can be saved. Now, I do not believe, as some outstanding preachers do, that men are born with that natural tendency to love the same sex that they are. I don't believe that. I have absolutely no reason to believe that. Men who have become homosexuals and women, they have done it themselves. They have allowed it to happen to themselves. And if God didn't think so and know so, then he would not say in the Scripture, I've turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, he's turned them over to a reprobate mind. Now, here's the thing. If they would come to Christ and trust him, they would be changed in the moment. Just like every other born-again child of God, they would be changed and they would not become homosexuals anymore. They would not be homosexual. They would be a Christian. And the two do not go together. So you who claim it are either one or the other. Now, I don't care how much argument you put forth. Write all the letters you please. It'll be fine with me. I've got trash pickup at the front of my house. I don't care. What you write and how much you disagree, if you disagree with what I've said, you're disagreeing with the Bible. Now, let me hurry. My time's moving on faster than I want it to. Let me hurry on. And you say, well, if God hates sin that bad that he would turn people over to a reprobate mind, I was trying to say that it isn't that they can't be saved, but they're in such a position that it is highly unlikely that they will be saved. Now, very frankly, I have dealt with these people in years gone by and have yet to see one that has been saved and changed their way completely and never went back to it. There's some that I am watching closely, and they've lasted a pretty good time. I'm not saying God can't save you if you're homosexual, but I'm saying that you have been turned over to a reprobate mind, and you had better get on your face, and you had better confess your sins and ask God to forgive your sins and give you that conviction of the Holy Spirit that you need so you can get back in fellowship with God, and then you will never be that again. You'll never be that vile person again. Now, quickly, God hates the sins of Christians, and I mentioned that, just as much as the sin of sinners. He hates them. But when a Christian sins, now a Christian don't commit these kind of awful, horrible sins and just keep on doing them. If he did, God would kill him. He's not going to do that. He don't want to do that, and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's there, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't want to. And he doesn't do them. There is no nature in him that is not rebuked. He has the old nature, but it is rebuked by the Holy Spirit. So therefore, he is not turned over completely to that sin. Therefore, he can confess sin. Now, frankly, I don't believe that Christians continue in sin. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Christians, though they try to justify their sins, make any success at it. I don't believe that. But I do believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And if you're a Christian that have sinned, remember that God hates sin. There's a difference in sins. But God doesn't judge one sin as any more against God than another. Certain kinds of sin bring certain kinds of punishment. But God does not think that a little sin, a little white lie, or something of that nature is less serious in the life of a Christian than the same lie would be in the life of a sinner. God doesn't, he does not overlook sin. It is sin wherever it is found. Now, if you disobey the Bible and you do that which you're told not to do by the Bible, you have sinned. And there's no question about it. But praise God, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, you can confess that sin. And if you're a true Christian, not just claiming to be, you will be uneasy, you will be heavy-hearted, you will be in terrible shape until you do confess that sin. If you can sin and get by with it, then, my dear friend, you're not a Christian. Sinners leap into sin and love it. Christians lapse into sin and loathe it. Christians who sin hate themselves for it. They hate themselves for the sin, and so they then will confess it. Now you say, well, preacher, what if the Bible don't just come right out and say it? Well, the Bible gives us some principles, and I'll give them to you in the next 30 seconds here. The Bible doesn't say some specific things about sins in Christian's life, but he gives us some principles. Number one, will it hurt my body? The Holy Spirit lives in my body. It's part of the body of Christ. Will it hurt my body? If it is, does, it's a sin. Will it bring me under its power? Then it's a sin. Somebody says, is smoking cigarettes a sin? Yes, if the cigarette brings you under its power and you can't leave it alone, then it's a sin for you to take that or smoke that because you're doing it on your own. Now, then number three, will it build me up in the faith and make me a better Christian? If it won't, then it is not right. It is a sin. And God will forgive those sins. And we have Christians today who are just sitting around condemning all these filthy, ungodly sinners in the world today that I've been talking about. And while they're doing that, they're committing little so-called sins that's destroying their own Christian fellowship with the Lord. Let me encourage you, get right with God today, whether you've ever been saved or haven't. Get right with God right now. Write and tell us if you can't do it without help. Write, and we'll help you in every way we know how to get right with God before it's eternally and everlastingly too late.